All right. Okay. We are heading back to our study. We have been studying the book of Ephesians, and we've gotten to the end of the book of Ephesians, where God makes it very clear through the Apostle Paul that we are going to have battles being fought in our lives. Matter of fact, our whole life really consists of battles, and God makes it clear that we understand what these battles are, where they're coming from, where they're being fought. So we're going back to Ephesians chapter 6, and over the next couple weeks, we're going to be finishing the book of Ephesians. I'm glad you're here with us. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to pick it up in verse 11 through 13, just to kind of recap, let you know where we're headed, what Paul's mindset is as we're going through this, right here in verse 11. All right. Put on all of God's armor, Paul writes, so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Now, gang, we have already learned that we must first and foremost, when it comes to the armor of God, we have to cinch on the belt of truth in our lives. And what the belt of truth talked about was that was being honest about who we are, being honest about what we do. We learned that it's unwise to step into a battle thinking we're strong, thinking we're knowledgeable, thinking we're ready or prepared, when in fact we are not ready for that type of battle. And you got to be honest about that. And that's what the belt of truth helps us learn. We then went on to learn that we must put on the breastplate of righteousness so we can fend off the lies of the devil and his angels, and the devil and his angels, the lies that they throw at us, lies that make us think that we're unworthy to God, lies that make us feel like we're disqualified from God's love. These are the lies Satan will throw at us, and we have to fight them off with the breastplate of righteousness. Now, you can go back to our website and you can listen to these messages because we have the audio there. And you also have the services you can watch live as we record all of our messages on video. So bring yourself back up to speed on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, because tonight we are going into our third piece of armor that God wants us to wear and Paul records for us in Ephesians chapter 6, now at verse 15. Here it is. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Now, gang, at first glance or a casual read, this armor item, the shoes of peace, might seem a bit unexciting, doesn't it? But we need to get a good look at what Paul means by shoes and comparing them to the armor of a Roman soldier's armory shoes. In the Roman soldier world, his shoes consisted of three parts. The greaves were the top part. This is the part that serves kind of as a shin guard. And it went over the knee and it rested on top of the upper shoe. And we have pictures of it here. This item, the greaves, was the first part, and it was invaluable for protection. A common form of injury that would happen to Roman soldiers would be a blow to the legs. But this item protected the soldier from sword swipes from combatants who could even be laying on the ground wounded, as well as any that would be swinging the sword in front of them. The greaves were incredibly important for the soldier as they moved from place to place as well. As they traversed rough terrain, they would come across rocky areas, branches, thorns, vines. These were aplenty on marches that the Roman soldiers would go on. And the only thing keeping their legs from being cut
by these things were their greaves. And it was so important not to be cut because infections were rampant. We could die from infections back then. Paul, who wrote this for us, telling us to put on the shoes of peace, he knew this. Remember, he is talking about putting on armor. Paul never tells us, put on just, you know, clothes from that day. He's talking about armor. Now, we said that was the top part of the shoe. There's still two other pieces to the battle shoe that was worn by the Roman soldier. There's the top of the shoe, which is not a sandal at all. They did not wear sandals out to fight. Instead, the top of the shoe was a piece of brass, and the bottom was another piece of brass. They were held together. They were cinched together with leather strapping. Now, the key here, the thing you don't want to miss, is that the bottom of the metal shoe had cleats. They would use cleats no less than 1 inch and all the way up to 3-inch spikes on the bottom of these shoes. Think about that. These are like the things you aerate your lawn with that you're walking around with. 3-inch spikes. The soldiers wore these because they would form a line. They were told to wear the 3-inch spikes, form a line, and they would dig in deep. They would stand shoulder to shoulder with each other with feet dug in 3 inches, and on would come the opposing army to try to break through the wall, break through the ranks. But the Roman soldier with the 3-inch spikes was rock steady, immovable, because he was dug in with these shoes. Now, what is Paul saying to us? Paul says that you and I are to wear greaves, remember the shin guard, and also the spiked shoes, but they are not to be crafted out of metal. Our shoes are to be crafted out of peace. Peace that we get from God. You see, if we understand and if we rest in, and if we own the peace of God, we too will be protected when traveling treacherous areas in our worlds, and we will be immovable when Satan sends his armies to blast away at us. So the big question I want to focus on tonight is, what is the peace Paul is speaking of? What is this peace? Well, there are really two elements of peace that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. The first is peace with God, and the second is the peace of God. Let's look at the first one, the peace with God. When we begin our lives, gang, this is key. This is the whole thing in a nutshell. If you don't get anything else tonight, get this. When we are born, when we begin our lives, and as we live, we are separated from God. That's how we begin life, every single one of us. We're not just separated from God, though. The Bible tells us that we are, in fact, at opposition with God. You didn't pick it. You just were, and you are. Born and live until you make it right with God. You are at opposition with God. Matthew 12:30. Jesus says, anyone who isn't with me opposes me. And anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. So let's put two and two together, right? Here we have God. God is the designer, the sustainer, and the author of what life is and what life should be. That's who God is. Then we have us, separated from God, and in fact, at odds with God. There's no wonder, gang, when you add that up, that people feel overwhelmed, that people are unable to cope with life. Instead of having peace, which is what Paul's purpose is telling us here, instead of having peace with God, we have the opposite in our hearts and minds. Instead, we experience life through struggle, at odds with God, the one who knows how to make life work, who designed it. We find our life in depression. We find our life constantly bombarded with strife and unhappiness and turmoil. What we need is to put our feet into the shoes and the peace that comes from the good news. That is peace with God. When, not that long ago, I went to visit a friend in a hospital, and we were waiting for the results to come back from a test, and it didn't seem like things were really going to be that bad, and so we had kind of a good visit. And then later we found out the prognosis came back that my friend had cancer. I went to see my friend in the hospital, and we talked, and I asked how they were doing. He said, "You know, at first, Drew, I really had a thing going there with God. I really didn't get it." And I understood. I understood what it's like to be blindsided. They said, "Yeah, I think it was a whole night. I kind of just wrestled with God. But then in the morning, things changed. In the morning, I realized that God has me in his arms. I am right with God. I know that he knows best. I know that he'll take care of me. And the most important thing, Drew, I know this. I'm on his team." I said, "Wow, that's a great attitude of peace to have to go on and fight this battle that was ahead." My friend never made it to that battle because they passed away just a couple days later. But it was the peace with God that I'll remember my friend with, because they had chosen God's team and were on God's team. Gang, each of us, each and every one of us, have to reach a moment in our lives where we change teams. We have to. We have to change from being on the sideline across from God's team, and we better do what needs to be done, which is take off the jersey you're wearing, run across the field, and join God's team. That can happen because, as Paul calls it, the good news, because of the good news that Jesus died for our sins on the cross. You see, Jesus made free agency available to us to join God's team. That's the good news. We can admit our sins to God, and with Jesus' payment that he made on the cross, our sin can be forgiven. And then God hands us our new uniform, and we join God's team. Now, I don't know where you're at tonight in your life. I don't know. Maybe you're here and you are experiencing life through struggle and through depression and through strife or unhappiness or turmoil, and you have not made peace with God. Well, guess what? You just stumbled upon the answer. This is it. Remember, this item that Paul is asking us to put on, the shoes of peace, this is coming after we have already put on the breastplate of righteousness. Peace with God comes after we secure Jesus' righteousness, procuring Jesus' perfect sinless record as our record now. We get his righteousness, his record. Peace with God is something you and I have to choose. I don't know where you're at, but I don't want to wait till the end tonight. If your life is more a life of turmoil, more a life of depression, more a life of strife, and if you have never crossed the field, if you have never done that and joined God's team, let Jesus forgive your sin. If you've never done that, that's where it starts. There is only two answers to this, yes or no. Maybe is a no. I'll think about it later is a no. There's only yes or no. So, before we go into more of learning on peace, let me ask you to bow your heads with me. Lord, you know people's hearts and you know what jersey they have on. We know we've made mistakes, and Lord, maybe this is the first time people are finding out that they're on the other team opposing God. Lord, if there are any here tonight who want to engage you, who want to tear off the devil's jersey and put on your jersey and run to your side of the field, I pray that they do that now. In the quietness of their heart, to simply say yes. Yes, I want to be forgiven of my sins. Yes, I want to join God's team. And yes, I want to learn to live for Jesus and have him guide me. Amen. Gang, we talked about peace with God. That's where we get right. That's where we make our new team God's team, and we no longer live in opposition. But we said there were two facets of peace, didn't we? The second is the peace of God. Now, it is, and get this, it is highly possible to have peace with God, okay? It is possible to have peace with God and not have the peace of God. That is because peace with God that we just talked about, that's kind of comes with the birthright we talked about, right? You become on God's team, you have peace with God. The peace of God doesn't come that way. The peace of God comes from walking in God's ways. The peace of God comes as a confidence that we get that we are on mission with God, that we are doing what God has called us to do, and we are rightly living with God. Then we have the peace of God. You know, for years in my home, there's one area that really hasn't been quite right. One area in my house. And it is the mudroom closet. You see, the mudroom closet is you would come into my glorious garage and walk into the house from my garage, and you're in the mudroom. And there's a closet there. Now, I built my house, and I built it, let's see, Cody, you're what, 13 years ago. I haven't quite gotten around to putting a door on that closet yet. I'm working on it, and my wife's unbelievable because she just put up with this for way too long. So in this little closet, we keep our shoes. Well, like I said, this part of my house isn't functioning right. So this area that collects the shoes over 13 years or so, maybe a little less, has become more of a molten, volcanic throw-up of shoes. One of the saddest things I have to do at 5 o'clock in the morning when I'm going to the firehouse is crawl on my hands and knees in the mudroom and go under this mountain and look for my two boots that I wear to work. And they're under everything. Cleats, sandals, mud hopper shoes, you name it. So I finally said, you know what? This isn't right. I got to work on this. So took all the shoes out, got the kids to help me, lined them all up in the kitchen. I had almost like train tracks going right through, just shoes. We just had shoes everywhere. And straightened up, swept it out, made nice, put in a couple milk crates in there, you know, like cubbies, and said, okay, everybody can have 4 pair of shoes, and you can put them in. Each one gets their own cubby. Well, we did it, right? I took pictures. I sent it to Kelly. I knew she'd be like, that's awesome, man, because she knows what it's like. It was depressing to go get shoes. You had to set aside at least an extra 5 minutes to get your shoes because you were going to be digging in there, and you really you could just snorkel through there to try to find these things. But anyway, it was clean, right? So awesome. And guess what? It's going pretty good. Going pretty good because I also put in a fail-safe system, which I call the no violation rule. No violations. Any shoe not in a cubby is a violation. And if you get a violation, basically punishable by death. But I haven't figured out how to do the death. But so it's really, I can't believe it. I go in now and it's like, wow, one of the happiest areas of the house. I go in, yeah, there's all the shoes in there. So I decided to have a little fun one day. The kids were in the family room. I said, hey, I got a violation in here. And every one of them laying on a couch. I got a violation in here. You better own up to it. They didn't move. Not a one of them. And I realized they have the peace of God. They've done what had to be done. They know. If anybody, Dad, you left your shoes in the kitchen. Because I'm the worst violator of the bunch. And I thought, that is the kind of peace that Paul is talking about. That's the way we get it. Remember the first piece of armor we talked about? Remember the first one. Paul does these in a specific order. The first thing we did was the belt of truth. Being honest about what we are and being truthful and honest about what we do. You see, the peace of God comes when we are truthful about what we have done as far as what God wants us to do. That's the kind of peace God wants us to have and live in. The peace that comes from following the instructions of God. A God who's always right, a God who is always with us, and a God who is always in control. Paul talked of the peace of God that we're talking about here in Colossians 3:15. He wrote this, "And let the peace of God rule your hearts." Now, this word rule is an interesting rule, an interesting word. In the Greek, it's called brabeo. Right? But it means this. This is what makes it interesting. It means to umpire or to referee or to judge as they had in the athletic games back then. What Paul is saying here is let the peace of God determine or call the shots in your life. Let the peace of God referee your emotions and your decisions. You need not get worried if someone's screaming, violation, violation. If you know, you haven't done any violations. Paul knows that in the spiritual battles being fought in our lives and in the spiritual battles being fought around our lives, unrenewed areas of our minds can be turned into emotional roller coasters, making us feel up one day and down the next. But Satan, gang, cannot play games with our emotions or our minds when we are governed by peace. Philippians 4:7. And let the peace of God, here it is again, right? And let the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and keep your minds through Jesus Christ. Remember, the peace of God will act like 3-inch spikes in the bottom of your shoes, making us immovable and making us unable to be tossed around mentally, thrown about emotionally, and ruined spiritually by Satan. I'm following God. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm dug in. Emotionally and spiritually, the shoes of peace have me grounded. Several years ago, a lot of you know, maybe some are new, don't know, my brother Mark, my oldest brother, who helped begin Westbridge, handed out the very first flyers for Westbridge in Phillipsburg, was diagnosed with leukemia. Didn't know much about leukemia, found out a lot about leukemia. Mark went through extensive leukemia treatment up in Hackensack, and I sat there and watched a lot of that. We would take turns staying through the night, myself and 3 or 4 other men here. And the amazing thing that everybody saw, the thing that blew everybody away, was the fact that Mark was never rattled by this. Never. He was never depressed. He was didn't even seem scared. He was hurting. Don't get me wrong. I saw it. It was this treatment. When they tell us he's going to get very sick, that's the biggest understatement I've ever heard. But his faith was unbelievable. The peace he had was immovable. Talk about 3-inch spikes. Mark had 12-inch spikes on. People could not believe it. He was praying for the nurses as they came to work on him, hoping they would get better. And they didn't have nothing wrong with them as far as cancer goes. But he knew they hadn't crossed teams yet. That's how he handled it. Gang, when it comes to the spiritual battles being fought in our lives and around our lives, we have to stay anchored, Paul says, by the peace that God gives us. When we're going through rough terrain, whether it be cancer or whether it be financial hardship or relational difficulties in our homes, we must let the peace of God keep us from getting torn up. We must let the peace of God keep us from getting scratched and infected by what the devil wants to throw at us when it comes to worry and doubt and anxiety. Rick Renner writes, "If Satan can't disturb your peace, he can't disturb you." I can think of 100 other ways that my brother Mark could have handled his situation in the hospital. I can easily think of 100 other ways. But my brother Mark chose to buckle up a tall set of greaves up over his knees and 3-inch set of cleats on his feet. The shoes of peace. And it was that peace, that incredible, beyond our understanding, as the Bible calls it, peace, that made that spiritual battle that we all went through with him turn out to be one of the biggest victories I've ever seen God do. Ephesians 6:15. "For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared." That's what Paul wrote. I'm going to ask the band to come back and the worship leaders. If you would do the "Great I Am," that would be wonderful. And give you all and myself and all of us here a chance to respond to God. Like I said, I don't know where you're at in your journey with God. I don't know if you're still working on peace with God because you're at odds with him because you haven't made that right. You can still do that. Or maybe it's the peace of God that you haven't laid hold of. Maybe, yeah, I've switched teams, but I haven't really been living the way God wants me to live. Well, you're not going to find peace. It's like coming to my house and throwing your shoes in the mudroom. Well, that's what we're doing with God. God didn't just say, "I want to give you life to the full for my benefit. I want to give you life to the full for your benefit." You've got the belt of truth. Be honest. Where are you at? Have you been made right with God? And are you living with the breastplate of righteousness that only gives us Jesus' righteousness, but calls us to live like Jesus? Only the great I Am can give us that kind of power. But we make the decision to follow. The answer is either yes or the answer is no. Give your answer to God now. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you that you let us know what's going on, that there's battles being fought in our lives and around our lives, and that there is an evil one who wants nothing more than just to tear us down, to ruin our lives, to keep us from you. And thank you, Lord, for showing us that there's a way through. There's a way to you, and you provided it through Jesus Christ. And thank you for showing us that we need not live lives that are just characterized by turmoil and depression and sadness and anxiety and dysfunction, but you show us that we can put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of peace to stay dug in deep to who you are and connected with you. And Satan can't get through because we know we are on your team and you are destined to win. Be with us as we leave this place, Lord. Help us be different. Help us to know that we are aliens here and that we are making a difference for you, but that one day we are going home and we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You fought well and the kingdom was advanced through you. Jesus, we put ourselves in your hands, knowing it's the best place to be. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock, Saturday night. We have to do it next week. We got to go next week. The following week, you're going to be at Battle Cry, right?
I may not, actually.
Okay.
Because something came up.
Okay. Let's do next week anyway.